Dharmasyati Bhagavatas Chijuga Chibishai. Adhis chara charamidam vijade vatartam. Nunam britam tadabhigati rajasthamascha. Shadvina no vadaya tanu vanirasya. Dharmasya, of the personification of all religion. Te, of you. Bhagavata, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Trijuga, you who are manifest in all three millenniums. Tribhi, by three. Shwai, your own. Padbhi, feet. Chara acharam, animate and inanimate. Idam, this universe. Dija, the twice born. Devata, the demigods. Artham, for the sake of. Nunam, however. Britam, protected. Tat, those feet. Abhi Ganati, destroying. Raja, the mode of passion. Tamaha, the mode of ignorance. Cha, and. Shatvina, of pure goodness. Na, unto us. Varadaya, bestowing all blessings. Tanuva, by your transcendental form. Nirasya, driving away. Translation in purple by His Divine Grace on Vishnu Paraparamahansa Paribhajakacharya Hastotara Satashi Shiman Bhai Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Gita. O Lord, you are the personification of all religion. Therefore you manifest yourself in three millenniums, and thus you protect the universe, which consists of animate and inanimate beings, by your grace, which is of pure goodness, and it is a bestower of all blessings. Kindly drive away the elements of Rajas and Tamas, for the sake of the demigods and twice born. Please repeat. O Lord, you are the personification of all religion, and therefore you manifest yourself in three millenniums, and thus you protect this universe, which consists of animate and inanimate beings, by your grace, which is of pure goodness, and is the bestower of all blessings. Kindly drive away the elements of Rajas and Tamas, for the sake of the demigods, and twice born. The Lord is addressed in this verse as Trijuga, or one who appears in three millenniums, namely the Satya, Dvapara, and Treta Yugas. He is not mentioned as appearing in the fourth millennium or Kali Yuga. It is described in the Vedic literature that in Kali Yuga he comes as Channa Avatara, or an incarnation, but he does not appear as a manifested incarnation. In other Yugas, however, the Lord is manifest incarnation, and is therefore addressed as Trijuga, or the Lord who appears in three yugas. Sridhar Swami describes Trijuga as follows. Juga means couple, and tree means three. The Lord is manifested as three couples by his six opulences, or three couples of opulences. In that way he can be addressed as Trijuga. The Lord is a personality of religious principles. In three millenniums, religious principles are protected by three kinds of spiritual culture, namely austerity, cleanliness, and mercy. The Lord is called Trijuga in that way also. In the age of Kali, these three requisites to spiritual culture are almost absent. But the Lord is so kind that in spite of Kali Yuga's being devoid of these three spiritual qualities, he comes and protects the people of this age by his covered incarnation as Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is called covered because although he is Krishna himself, he presents himself as a devotee of Krishna, not directly Krishna. The devotees pray to Lord Chaitanya, therefore, to eliminate their stock of passion and ignorance, the most conspicuous assets of this yuga. In the Krishna consciousness movement, one cleanses himself of the modes of passion and ignorance by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari, as introduced by Lord Chaitanya. The four Kumaras were cognizant of their situation in the modes of passion and ignorance, because although in Vaikuntha they wanted to curse the devotees of the Lord, since they were conscious of their own weakness, they prayed to the Lord to remove their still existing passion and ignorance. The three transcendental qualifications, cleanliness, austerity, and mercy, are the qualifications of the twice-born and the demigods. Those who are not situated in the quality of goodness cannot accept these three principles of spiritual culture. For the Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, there are three sinful activities which are prohibited, namely, illicit sex, intoxication, and eating food other than the prasad offered to Krishna. These three prohibitions are based on the principles of austerity, cleanliness, and mercy. Devotees are merciful because they spare the poor animals, and they are clean because they are free from contamination of unwanted foodstuffs and unwanted habits. Austerity is represented by restricted sex life. These principles, indicated by the prayers of the four Kumaras, should be followed by the devotees who are engaged in Krishna consciousness. Om Agyan Tumirandasya Jananjaran Shalakaya Thakshura Manitandina Tashmayashvira Jaya Sri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Karata Shivashari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari. O Lord, you are the personification of all religion. Therefore you manifest yourself in three millenniums, and thus you protect the universe. So the Lord is known as Trijuga because he appears in these three millenniums. Of course the Lord appears many, many times in every millennium. But one time he's coming to establish the Yuga Dharma. So in Satyayuga he comes as a special incarnation to establish the Dharma, Dhyan, meditation. In the Treta Yuga he comes as the Yuga avatar to establish the Yuga Dharma, which is Jagannath. And in Dwarpa Yuga, he comes and establishes the Dharma, Yuga Dharma of Archana. So when he comes, he manifests his supremacy in these forms, and everybody knows he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he establishes the Yuga Dharma. But in Kali Yuga, he comes in a covered form. He's not advertising himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is Lord Chaitanya, so therefore he's called Tri Yuga, because he doesn't appear to come in the Kali Yuga, but he comes in a covered form, not posing himself as an incarnation, because in Kali Yuga, so fallen that other people will also consider themselves incarnation. So Lord Chaitanya, although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he came to show the Yuga Dharma, but he acted as a devotee, not as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore he's called Tri Yugas, Tri Yuga. So he establishes Yuga Dharma of chanting Hare Krishna to cleanse especially the mode of passion and ignorance away. And the four Kumaras are also praying that they remove the passion and ignorance they have become influenced by. So here is the story of Jaya Vijay and the four Kumaras being cursed. And many lessons are being learned. When the Krishna does something, many things are accomplished at one time. So here, this is the pastime of the Lord. Because he has a desire for fighting, the fighting propensity is there in the Lord, because it's here, within the parts and parcels of Krishna also. So it's present in the Lord also, but in Vaikuntha there is no fighting. So in Vrindavan there's no problem. Krishna's always fighting with his friends, so he fulfills that propensity for fighting. But in Vaikuntha there's no one to fight with, so therefore he was feeling a little lacking. And Jai and Vijay, they spotted that, they noticed that there's something lacking in, he's not feeling quite complete, so they detected what it was. So they thought, who can fight with the Lord? Well, we'd like to do that service, because we're like, that's our business, we're strong, we're guards, so we can give the Lord a good fight. So they had a desire to do that, to fulfill the Lord's desire. So then this whole arrangement was made by the Lord to satisfy his devotee's desire, and also his own desire will be fulfilled. So in the process of creating this situation where Jai and Vijay would come down in the material world and act as demons and fight with Krishna, then we have this whole pastime here of the four Kumaras. So everyone's benefiting here. The Lord's desire is becoming satisfied. The Kumaras become pure devotees because of this incident. Otherwise they may have remained the same. And the Jai and Vijay's desires to satisfy the Lord are also manifested. So simultaneously, Krishna does one thing and many things are accomplished. So here we see also in the dealings of the Lord with the four Kumaras. He criticizes his own men, Jaya Vijay. Here, what Jaya Vijay is in name only. These Jaya Vijay in name only, because that means victory, Jaya Vijay. They're supposed to be glorious, Jaya Vijay, but look what they've done. They've stopped the Kumara. So he says, in name only. He's come and he's criticizing his own men. He could have said the other way around, which was more factual. That, you know, what are you for Gyan is doing here? This is the place of my bhaktas, Jaya and Vijay. They're thousands of times more advanced than you. They're in Dasaras, you're only in Shantaras. You actually don't, practically you have no right to be here. So why are you, I'm supposed to protect my devotees. These are greater devotees than you. So you know, clear off. You could have been angry and shown like that, and that's okay, it's correct. But he does it in such a pleasant way that he reverses the whole situation. And he says, oh my men, he starts criticizing his own men in front of the Kumaras. So they're becoming completely bewildered. But as pointed out yesterday, Krishna Balaram Prabhu, okay. These Kumaras, not really devotees. I mean, they're devotees, but they're devotees of the Lord's opulence. Here they're great, everybody knows the Kumaras, they're famous for their knowledge. They travel around the universe, educating everywhere in the universe. And of course they're very renowned. I mean, they don't even wear clothes. They're very, very renowned. So these are the Lord's opulence. Knowledge, full of knowledge, full of renunciation. These are some of the six opulences of the Lord. So this is what they are attracted by. Of course, they're situated in Brahman, but they're attracted by these opulences of knowledge and renunciation. And it hurt their ego a little bit when Jaya and Vijay stopped them. Because they were kind of really just enjoying their independence. They were enjoying the opulences of the Lord. They were self-satisfied, so they were actually kind of like enjoying. They weren't actually serving Krishna. They weren't actually rendering any service. So, more or less, they were in Maya. Although they're having a liberated soul be in Maya, but here, even in the purple Prabhupada's, no, they're pointing out in the sloka that drive away this tamasam rajas. We've been affected by tamasam rajas, which they shouldn't be, because they're Brahma Bhuta Prashanatma. They're beyond the modes of material nature. But here it says that. Because they were in Vaikuntha and they wanted to curse Jaya and Vijay, who were great devotees of the Lord. Since they were conscious of their own weakness, they prayed to the Lord to remove their still existing passion and ignorance. They're praying to the Lord, remove passion and ignorance, even though they're supposed to be Brahma Bhuta. Or in other words, even if you are liberated, beyond the modes, still the modes of nature are still waiting with folded hands to serve you. They're always there at every moment, so at any moment you can choose them. It's not although just because you're liberated and Maya is gone forever, she's still waiting at the feet of the muktas and the devotees, begging for service. So at any moment they can choose and they can be obsessed or possessed again by the modes of material nature if they make that choice. So here this anger, they're indicating by our anger, actually we became influenced by Rajas and Tamas. The anger is coming from their unfulfilled desire, kama, krodha. This is the progression, kama, krodha, lobha, moha. From kama, lust, desire, comes anger, kama, krodha. You become angry, you can't fulfill your then from that becomes greed. I must get it. I must fulfill it. Kam, krodh, lobha, moha, then you could become illusioned. This is where you fall down. So this anger is an indication of lust or unfulfilled desires. Of course they had a pure desire. They wanted to come and see the Lord in Vaikuntha. That was their desire. They were on their way to see them. Because it was interfered with, they became angry. So that's kind of okay, because it was anger in the service of the Lord, or going to see the Lord. But they were considering themselves, it was actually an act of passion and ignorance, which they shouldn't have exhibited, especially towards devotees in Vaikuntha. So, goodness, these opulences of the Lord, knowledge and renunciation, this is Yukta Vairagya. Sarvabhauma says in his famous prayers to Lord Chaitanya, Yukta Vairagya prayers, Prabhupada also, that Lord Chaitanya, he came to teach Yukta Vairagya, knowledge and renunciation. But the Gyanis, they're also following this path. The yogis also follow the same path. So we're also following the same path. If Lord Chaitanya came to teach knowledge and renounce, but it's the path of mukti. It's the path that the muktas follow that path. The Gyanis, the yogis, that's their sadhana, is knowledge and renunciation. They're very, very renounced. They're very, very knowledgeable. But the goal is mukti. So we are following the same path as the muktas. So what is the difference between the sadhana bhaktis and the jnanis and the yogis? They're both following the same path. Prabhupada said in the beginning, then, like up to the point of liberation, then the process is the same practically for all the different types of transcendentalists. We all try to come to that platform of beyond the modes of material nature. Then they can get the fruit of their... The jnanis can get their mukti, the yogis can get their siddhi, and the bhaktas can get Krishna. But they're all aspiring to become free. So what is the difference between the other yogis and the bhakti yogis, or the sadhana bhakti yogis? Is that the sadhana bhakti yogis, they're also performing activities based on Yukta Vairagya, but their knowledge is never to forget Krishna, and their renunciation is anything that is not favorable for remembering Krishna. This is the difference. Whereas the other common yogis, jnanis and the yogis, their knowledge and renunciation, like here the four kumaras, their knowledge will be on the self. They're trying to understand the self, become self-satisfied. So the object of their knowledge is the self. And renunciation is also to become detached from the material world. So the subject matter is different for the devotees. They're doing the same activity, but their knowledge is based on performing activities so they can't forget Krishna. And their renunciation is renunciation of all activities that are unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. So in other words, Krishna is the center of the bhakta's sadhana, where he's not the center of the... He may be the center in his impersonal aspect for the jnanis and the yogis. So, Lord Chaitanya could teach Yukta Vairagya, but you can't get Krishna with Yukta and Vairagya. By knowledge and renunciation, you can't get Krishna. He's not obtainable by any amount of knowledge, by any amount of renunciation. Bhakti mama bhajananti, Krishna says, the only way to know me is through bhakti. uh, But still we are following this path. This is an essential path. Practically sadhana bhakti is based on Yukta Vairagya, knowledge and renunciation. Okay, yeah, so still we are following. So Lord Chaitanya came to teach that. That's a fact. But still you can't get Krishna by it. But Lord Chaitanya is not famous for teaching knowledge and renunciation. He is famous as being Mahabhadanaya, Namo Mahabhadanaya. Krishna Prema Pradayati. Krishna, Krishna, Chaitanya, Namani, Guru. Now he is coming to give pure devotional service. He came to give bhakti. In other words, you can't teach bhakti. It's already there in the heart. We don't need to be taught it. It's already there. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem. But it's covered. But already we know. We don't. Bhakti is already there, so it's eternal. So we don't have to be taught bhakti. The jiva by nature, he is the eternal servant of Krishna. He knows how to serve Krishna. But we've forgotten that we've become covered. So the Yuktram Vairagya is to get rid of that covering. So that's Lord Chaitanya's come to teach that process to get rid of the covering. And the covering is gone, then you can take, he's giving freely, Mahabhadanaya Krishna Bhi. But you can't take it at the moment because you can't see your hands to take it with. You're covered. You can't see your real self. You're covered. You can't understand who you are. So we're covered. So this process of Yukta Vairagya is cleansing away the process. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement begins right at that point. Chaito Dharapana Marjanam. Here is the cleansing process. First cleanse. Then everything will happen. The holy name will, like the full moon will arise and knowledge, everything will come, pure devotional service will come at that point. But first it's beginning with Chaito Dharpana Marjanam. So here, then the four Kumaras, this is what's happened. They were great Yukta Vairagyas. They were greatly renounced and the greatest knowledgeable persons, greatest renounced persons. But when they were blessed by the smell of the tulsi of the lotus feet of the Lord, then everything was cleansed away. Actually, it was by the presence of the Lord they actually became cleansed to be in His presence, personal presence like that. By His sweet speeches and everything, they became pacified. They become realized. They become purified by His presence. Because they lost their anger, they can see clearly now. It means that passion and ignorance is gone. They're able to understand exactly what's happened. I mean, to themselves, they couldn't understand exactly the Lord. They couldn't understand what He was trying to accomplish or say fully. But at least they understood that they were, somehow or another, they become influenced by passion and ignorance. And now in the presence of the Lord and His sweet speech, that had it gone. And that scent of tulsi, that actually caused the bhakti to begin. In other words, only by a grace of a bhakta that can get bhakti. Krishna Himself, gentlemen, He doesn't even give bhakti. But he gives it through his devotees. So therefore, they're glorifying Tulsi so much. The potency of a pure devotee who never leaves the feet of Krishna. Even they said Lakshmi is leaving sometimes, but Tulsi never leaves. So she is the inhabitant of Vrindavan. So this is the attitude of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. They won't speak any sentence practically without the name of Krishna. They have to mention Krishna with every sentence. And they will give up their husbands, their families, their children to run and see Krishna. That is priority, nothing else. So this is the attitude of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Their only business is Krishna. That's all. So by the grace of a pure devotee, by the presence, and that bhakti was manifested to the Kumaras. First they were purified, then they got the association of a devotee. Then they became great devotees. So here Prabhupada's giving us lots of instruction for the members, as the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We should follow these words, and we should become free from this passion and ignorance. And Prabhupada says, we, as followers of Lord Chaitanya, we do it by the process of chanting Hare Krishna. That will cleanse the dust. Cheto Dharapana Majanam, it cleanses the dust on the mirror of the heart. And when the heart is clean from karma, lust and anger, or passion and ignorance, Prabhupada says, then you can accept the three principles of spiritual culture. But the heart is still contaminated, it's difficult to accept these principles of illicit sex, intoxication, and eating food other than the prasad offered to Krishna. These three prohibitions are based on the principles of austerity, cleanliness, and mercy. See how Prabhupada has skillfully introduced these four regulative principles. But actually, they're such great principles. The three principles of spiritual culture. And he said, mercy is that we don't eat animals. So we're very merciful to the animals. And of course, we preach the message of Lord Chaitanya. And they are clean because they are all free from all contaminations of unwanted foodstuffs. Krishna says, if you eat food, that's not offered to me, it's verily, we don't need sin. So, they're not contaminated by eating unwanted foodstuffs. And they give up all their unwanted habits also. Intoxication. It's very contaminating, intoxication. It says, you cannot purify a pot that the wine was kept in. Once you put wine in the pot, you can't purify it after that. It's so contaminating. So imagine drinking wine. You can never. If this is the pot, you put the wine in the pot. So it's very, very contaminating. and it's way, way on top of sinful activities. I mean, like, it's way up there with killing brahmanas, killing the cow. Intoxication is there with those. Because with intoxication, you lose everything. You forget all your good qualities. The anger, here they're becoming angry. Some anger is shown, but it was just something that came up, and they've come to their senses. Oh, we shouldn't have become angry and like that. But when you're intoxicated, you don't care what you do. And you don't even bother to correct yourself. You think it's right. So you can form any abominable activity. And if you continue to take intoxication, you don't care. You don't even care. You won't correct yourself. So that's why it's so dangerous, intoxication. Because it just, you get more and more degraded. It's not just like, you know, accidental fall down or an accidental, something accidental happens. But you consciously, keep taking intoxication, you consciously degrade yourself. You don't care for principles, you don't care for anything anymore. So it's a very unwanted. And so it keeps us very clean when we're restricted from all these principles. So Prabhupada introduced all these in Krishna consciousness. Anyway, if we find that sometimes we're desiring illicit sex, intoxication, or anything else, we can understand it's due to the influence of passion and ignorance. So this is the test. It must be there, still there, if we are experiencing any desires. So therefore, this whole process of sadhana is based on this whole aspect of purification. It's purifying our existence in this material world. Jiva Goswami says to Nityananda Prabhu in Navadvip, how come in Vidyanaga they learn logic there and knowledge, all types of knowledge, everything is learned there, all the arts of yoga, renunciation. So Jiva Goswami says if knowledge and renunciation are actually inauspicious because they don't give bhakti, then what is he? Why do they taught here in Navadvip, at Vidyanaga? So Nityananda Prabhu says, they're never inauspicious if they're used properly. It's only when they're misused for the wrong purpose, for liberation, for cities, or whatever. He said, then they're inauspicious. He said, but otherwise, if they're used, he said, the real purpose of knowledge and renunciation is simply to reveal the higher position of bhakti. So when they do that, he said, then they become glorious. There's nothing inauspicious about them. But if they're not used for the to come to the process of devotional service, then they actually remain inauspicious. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was giving one lecture to, speaking with one professor or something like that. He was making the same point, and the question was, what is Maya? So he started to explain what is Maya, very concise. And so Maya, not that Maya, Maya means that which is not God, he said, that is Maya. So then he goes on to how Maya will come in so many ways. Then he just goes through all the six systems of philosophy that are there. He said they're all tainted by Maya. It's all Maya. These are great treatises, you know, works, great philosophical works. And the whole world is using these, they're studying these. And he says they're all Maya. Because he speaks in such a concise way. But he just summarizes everything up. He's speaking to a scholar, so he says, whatever system you're following, he said, it's all Maya. Anything that doesn't come to the point of service to Krishna is Maya. And these systems, they're supposed to be understanding what is God, but they don't bring you to the point of service to Krishna. He said, so they're all influenced by Maya. Only devotional service, direct bhakti is the real It is the actual way of life. It's the actual way of living. And everything else is tainted by my, even in the name of God, searching for God, coming close to God, even reaching God in the name of Mukti, like the four Kumaras. They've reached God. They've reached Brahmaniti Paramatmi Bhagavat. They've reached God. They understand the presence of God, the aspect of God. But still, it's tinged by Maya. And therefore, they were subjected to become prone to this anger. And because anything that is not connected in service to Krishna is Maya, which is such a great definition. So here, the four Kumaras, they're called great bhaktas and everything like that. But at this time, they were still influenced by Maya. Because they weren't connected to Krishna in service. They were connected to Krishna in spirit. They were realizing the greatness of God. They were self-realized. They were realizing Brahman. Brahma Bhuta Pratna. But there was no service aspect there. Therefore, tainted with Maya. Jivaya Sarupaya Nitya Krishna Das. They're nothing else but the servant of Krishna. They're not Nitya Jnani Das, Nitya Yogi Das, Nitya Taigi Das, Nitya Krishna Das. So any of those other processes look very good. You can become God conscious. No. Unless there's direct service to Krishna, it's all tinted with Maya. Even up to liberation. Maya is waiting to shoot. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki. Nitai Go Premanandi. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Yes. It seems what? The last standpoint? Oh, it's a nice thing. Yeah. He appears with six opulences, three couples of opulences, therefore it's called Sri Yuga. This is Sri Das Swami's commentary. I wonder what else he says in Sri Das' commentary on that verse of those who are intelligent will worship the Lord through the process of Sankirtan. Because Sridhar Swami appeared before Lord Chaitanya. So we can, now they are saying Tri Yuga because he comes as the covered incarnation. But Lord Chaitanya appeared before Sridhar, so maybe, I don't know, I haven't read the commentaries. So he's given an explanation of Tri Yuga. How he's coming in three covered. He's not mentioning Lord Chaitanya. I doubt. He knows. Maybe he knew and skeptical. Anyway, it may be interesting to read what Sridhar Swami says on that commentary of those who are intelligent in Kali Yuga will worship the Lord by the process of Sankirtan. That the Sridhar Swami actually knew about the descent of Lord Chaitanya or not, because he appeared before. Yeah, this one, yeah. Yeah. But he's commented on it. It'd be interesting to see what comments he made. It may be interesting. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki. Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki. Jai Go Premanandi. Hare Krishna. Thank you.